This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is January 7th, 2013, and you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. A little night work in Pioneer Courthouse Square yesterday evening, and in Houston, over 100 Tar Sands blockade protesters are right now taking over the lobby of the Trans-Canada building in Houston. We'll be speaking with Ron Seifert, who is right there at the die-in now. Meanwhile, the nominations juggernaut rolls ahead. Obama has tapped John Waterboard Brennan as the next CIA director, and Republicans are rallying the troops in an attempt to defeat Chuck Hagel's nomination as our next Secretary of Defense. Weather, rain likely today, cloudy, highs near 50. A little bit of a southwest wind around 14 miles an hour, but it could gust up to 22 miles per hour if it gets going. Tonight, rain likely again with low around 43. In fact, for the next few days, do expect rain. And tomorrow it is likely again to be a wet one with a high near 52. South winds are around 15 miles per hour, gusting as high as 24 miles per hour. For tomorrow night, more rain, lows around 42, and those southwest winds dinning up to 15 to 17 and possibly even as high as 28 miles per hour. For the alternative outlook, we have a waning crescent flower moon in Libra. Moon's 25 days old, synodic forecast. Things stand pretty much as they did last week. Not a good time to sow anything. Weed harvest and, of course, do the compost work. The biodynamic forecast has a moon in Libra. It's an air sign. So if you actually feel a strong need to plant something, flowering plants are the way to go. The sidereal forecast moon in Libra, it's a good time for green manures or cover crops. But perhaps should have thought of that one a lot earlier. And that's it for the alternative forecast. We want to touch on a few local stories from around Cascadia before we speak with Ron Seifert in Houston at the die-in at the Trans-Canada building. Portland's communities of color have put together a group, Communities of Color for a Just Oregon. Remember Sam Adams' Ethics Committee? Perhaps this is a real grassroots from the ground up organization that is going to be able to accomplish what the Ethics Committee seemed to get bogged down with wrangling and never really got a grip on the situation. It was Communities of Color for Just Oregon was registered in early December, and they are working with people who are directly affected by some of the unfortunate situations that white Oregon has allowed to creep into its social and cultural infrastructure. The committee is independent of existing nonprofit cultural groups. Its organizers say that it's focusing on promoting equity-based local funding, the role of culturally specific organizations and services, early childhood education, poverty reduction, and culturally appropriate data and research. It's an important step. It's late in coming, but then, like so many things, there's no time like right now to make those first steps. The Alliance first produced a report card in 2011 when it gave the Senate a C and House a D on bills concerning racial equity and inclusion. Authorities say that gun sales are through the roof in Oregon following the Clackamas Town Center shooting. gun shop owners say that they cannot keep the shelves full, and of course the police report that there's a huge spike in applications for background checks. At the same time, we have to note that a gun went off inside a Kitsap County store after a man dropped it. No one was injured for once. The Kitsap Sun has a report that a 58-year-old man who should have known better — we usually don't include ages of individuals that we report on, but in this case, I think it's appropriate to point out that this is a guy, carries concealed. It was a 38 caliber, and it went off, of all places, at a Cost Plus market. Okay, that's one that beggars the imagination. And from California, some news of actions taking place there. The two remaining reactors at San Onofre that have been shut down for almost a year have brought us to a critical point where we could actually close them forever. Activists in California are taking steps in that direction. Core technical problems compromise the steam generators, and they should not be allowed to operate again. This is exactly the kind of problems that reactors all across the country are plagued with, because, for one thing, they are old, they are too hot internally to ever really be inspected, and they are essentially disasters waiting to happen. After decades of work, the Tlalum tribe on the Olympic Peninsula has managed to purchase its — don't you love it? They got to buy back their own sacred site from people who colonized and stole their land from them. Nonetheless, they did get the rock back before rock climbers managed to chip it away into nothing but a handful of sand. There is on Portland Intermedia a wonderful letter from KTO and Matt. They have recently, however, been tossed into solitary confinement. Yet again, it seems there's no rhyme or reason to these actions on the part of the Justice Department. They were unexpectedly thrown into solitary confinement at the SeaTac prison in December, and no one has been able to come up with an explanation of why that has happened. It's a lovely letter from KTO, though. It's at Portland Indie Media, if anyone cares to take a look at that. I want to move right along to talk with Ron Seifert, live from Houston, where this action is taking place in the lobby of the Trans-Canada building. We should have him on in just a moment. We are waiting right now to hear from him. What's happening right now, as of this morning, according to an Austin live streamer, protesters were removed from the building. They still gathered on the sidewalk. Police blockaded in TransCanada's offices. Other cops there had their badge numbers covered, which in the past the Houston Police Department has claimed is allowed at protests for officer safety. You have to wonder what kind of danger officers might be in if their badges were uncovered and available for public inspection, which I believe is, in fact, the law. Badge numbers are covered with jackets and duct tape at the Houston port shut down, too. The bulk of protesters were pushed out as time progressed. Both police arrived with batons, and we're still waiting to hear. I've got a couple of numbers. If any listeners are moved to call TransCanada and express their feelings about the Keystone XL pipeline, they can do so by ringing 877-290-2772. And if you like, you can call the Houston Police Department and its chief, Charles McClellan, and remind him that the whole world is watching. That number is 713-308-1600. And there's no time like the present to take action. It's not a labor-intensive move, but it's one that does, in fact, have long-term downstream consequences, and good ones in this case. We have been following the nominations, and of course we look forward to the potential appointment of Chuck Hagel as the Pentagon's top dog. And now we have John Brennan also, who is being proposed by President Obama as the next head of the CIA. Brennan's past, we know Chuck Hagel's past, and he seems, certainly judging by the Republicans' virulent opposition, he seems to be the right guy for the job. Brennan's nomination is a little bit more problematic. Brennan, as many listeners probably recall, had been a defender of waterboarding, and he has taken a number of other positions on critical national security issues that call into question the appropriateness of this particular nomination. We'll be speaking tomorrow with a source who will be able to fill us in a little bit more on how that particular nomination is progressing. Again, it is a problematic choice. The Supreme Court today heard the first challenge to the 2005 law aimed at limiting class action litigation, getting off to the typical Roberts Supreme Court start for 2013. This case will decide when plaintiffs may reduce the damages thereafter in order to keep their claims in state court. It's the alternative to having them move to generally less friendly federal courts, as the law provides in cases worth more than $5 million with parties from different states. Complicated issue, worth following and keeping an eye on. The justice has also heard arguments about when burglars who are caught carrying guns are subject to the tough three strikes and you're out sentencing minimums. But all that aside, nominations and the Supreme Court. We also want to note that former CIA officer John Kiriakou is the first to face prison for what has been described as a classified leak, calling into question when is a leak, as it were, legitimate, and when is it not legitimate. Apparently legitimate when the government deliberately leaks something, and not quite so acceptable when a government employee leaks information. Then that brings us, of course, to what the nature of that information might be. If it is fraud, corruption, some kind of malfeasance at high levels of government, and that is leaked, then it would indeed fall under the heading of whistleblowing. Whistleblowers, of course, as we all recall, President Obama signed a new law which ostensibly protects whistleblowers from the repercussions and the sometimes extremely vicious retribution that is brought down on them by virtue of their courage. So in the case of John Kiriakou, this has been going on for a while. He is indeed a very brave man. And the first CIA officer, as we said, to be convicted of disclosing this classified information to a reporter in more than six decades. He is to be scheduled to be sentenced to 30 months in prison. The sentencing date is January 25th. It's part of a plea deal in which Kiriakou admitted that he emailed the name of a covert officer to a reporter. His prosecution, as well as five others, has been, of course, by the usual suspects, lauded on Capitol Hill as a long overdue response to a rash of dangerous disclosures. It is defended by both President Obama and Attorney General Eric Holder. Kiriakou is said to be remorseful up to a point. He did say, "I should never have provided the number." Supporters say that he neither intended to damage national security, and nor did he, in fact, do so. Some see a dark paradox in the impending imprisonment of Kiriakou, who, in a 2007 appearance on ABC, defended the CIA's use of desperate measures to get information. And that's the show for today. I'm sorry, we tried to get Ron Seifert on, but in fact, he is at a political action in Houston, and the police seem to be involving themselves in the protest that's going on there. So it's likely that he may have had some run-in with Houston PD. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, January 7, 2013. Carlos Chavez engineered the show today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.